Welcome to the podcast. Today, we are looking at a major update to how AI generates images, and it involves a lot more planning and reasoning than just spitting out a grid of pixels.
We are also tracking a very interesting and slightly controversial developing story out of Meta. Their push to build autonomous AI agents is running right into employee privacy concerns on their own campus.
And if you work in marketing, publishing, or SEO, you might want to brace yourself for a new concept that is being called the bland tax.
Plus, we have a hardware update from Framework and some interesting academic news from Arizona State University. Let's get right into it.
Our first story today is a massive update from OpenAI. They just launched ChatGPT Images 2.0, running on a brand new model called GPT-IMAG2, and they are positioning this as a fundamental shift in how we interact with AI image generation.
It really is a fundamental shift. Up until now, image generation has mostly been a prompt and pray exercise. You type a sentence, you get an image, and if it's wrong, you roll the dice again. But this new model introduces two distinct modes. There is an instant mode for that traditional, fast generation, and a new thinking mode.
Right, and that thinking mode is where things get wild. It integrates their O-series reasoning capabilities. So instead of just rendering a single image from a prompt, the model can actually research, plan, and structure complex visual outputs. We are talking about multi-page manga, full infographics, slides, and maps.
The technical leap here is significant. They're claiming near-perfect text rendering, which has historically been the Achilles heel of AI image generators. And it doesn't just support Latin scripts. It handles multilingual text and non-Latin scripts seemingly flawlessly. Plus, it outputs at 2K resolution with flexible aspect ratios.
Sam Altman's quote on this really highlights the scale of the update. He said Images 2.0 is a huge step forward. This is like going from GPT-3 to GPT-5 all at once. That is not a minor version bump in his eyes.
It is a bold claim, but if the thinking mode works as advertised, it changes the user's role entirely. You are no longer just a prompter. You become more of a design director. You give the AI a high-level goal, and it does the structural planning and layout before it even starts drawing.
Which puts OpenAI in direct competition with Google Gemini. Gemini has been very strong at multimodal tasks, connecting text, images, and real-time web context. OpenAI is clearly trying to build a professional visual workspace to counter that.
There is a catch, though. The thinking mode features are restricted to paid ChatGPT tiers. So if you're on the free tier, you're not going to get this advanced research and planning capability. You need Plus, Pro, or Business.
That makes sense given the compute required for O-series reasoning. But it does raise questions about the broader impact on the design industry. If anyone with a $20 subscription can generate a professional multi-page infographic with perfectly rendered text, what happens to the market for traditional design software?
It is going to disrupt the lower end of the market, absolutely. But there is also the darker side of this. If you can generate flawless infographics and maps in any language, the potential for AI-generated misinformation or deceptive political influence campaigns scales up dramatically.
Exactly. A map or a chart carries a certain visual authority. When you combine that with the ability to render text perfectly, people are much more likely to believe what they are seeing is real data, rather than an AI hallucination. Moving on to a story about how the AI sausage gets made. Meta has announced an internal program that is causing quite a stir. They are deploying a tool called the Model Capability Initiative, or MCI, on the computers of their U.S.-based employees.
And this tool is essentially corporate spyware, but for a very specific purpose. It is designed to capture granular data on how employees interact with their machines. We are talking about tracking mouse movements, clicks, keystrokes, and even taking occasional screen snapshots.
The goal here is to train AI agents to perform work tasks autonomously. Meta is trying to bridge the gap between what AI can do in a text box and how humans actually navigate complex software interfaces, like using drop-down menus or hitting specific keyboard shortcuts.
Right. This is part of a broader company effort that used to be called AI for Work, but has recently been rebranded as the Agent Transformation Accelerator, or ATA. They need real-world, human interaction data to teach these models how to use a computer.
Naturally, this has sparked massive internal backlash. You are telling your workforce that every click and keystroke is being recorded to train a system that might eventually be able to do their job.
Meta's spokesperson, Andy Stone, came out to defend the initiative. He stated explicitly that the data will not be used for performance assessments and that they have safeguards in place to protect sensitive content.
But does that promise really hold up in a corporate environment? Even if management genuinely intends to only use it for AI training right now, it inevitably creates a culture of surveillance. The psychological contract between employer and employee shifts when you know you are being recorded at that level of granularity.
It is a tough sell. Workers are essentially being asked to provide the exact behavioral data necessary to train the systems that could automate their own roles. It is one thing to train an AI on public web data. It is another to train it on your employees' daily workflows.
And it highlights a massive bottleneck in the AI industry right now. We have these incredibly smart language models, but they don't know how to operate a desktop environment. They don't know how to tab between a spreadsheet and an email client seamlessly.
Exactly. To build true autonomous agents, you need action data, not just text data. Meta is betting that the internal friction with their employees is worth the potential breakthrough in agentic AI capabilities.
Our final deep dive today is about a new concept in the world of search and marketing. Andrew Warden, the CMO of Semrush, has coined a term called the bland tax.
The bland tax describes the risk of brands being completely filtered out or ignored by AI search systems. If your brand doesn't have a strong, distinct footprint, you lose visibility and traffic because the AI just synthesizes a generic answer and leaves you out of the citations.
And the context for this is staggering. According to the data in the article, approximately 60% of Google searches now end without a click to a website. Users are increasingly relying on AI-synthesized answers from Google AI Overviews, ChatGPT, or Perplexity.
That 60% figure is terrifying for anyone who runs a business that relies on organic search traffic. It means the old playbook of optimizing for a top three blue link is dying. Brands are now competing to be included in the synthesized AI answers themselves.
Which requires a totally different strategy. The article talks about moving from traditional SEO to defensive SEO. This involves actively monitoring and shaping how AI models describe and evaluate your brand.
But how do you even measure that? Traditional metrics like organic traffic or click-through rates are becoming less reliable. If ChatGPT gives a user a perfect summary of your product without linking to your site, you get zero traffic, but you still got the brand exposure.
That is the core of the problem. Brands have to figure out how to measure their AI visibility or AI authority. You have to ensure that when an LLM is asked about the best software in your category, it consistently cites you as the authoritative source.
And if you are bland, if your content is generic and indistinguishable from your competitors, the AI has no reason to highlight you. You pay the bland tax by becoming invisible.
It is an inevitable consequence of AI-driven search. The models are designed to extract facts and discard fluff. If your entire brand identity is fluff, you are going to get filtered out.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up for the day.
Sounds good. Let's run through them.
Framework just announced the Laptop 13 Pro, featuring a ground-up chassis redesign and Intel Core Ultra Series 3 processors.
It also includes their first fully custom touchscreen display for a 13-inch model, with a 2880 by 1920 resolution and a 30 to 120 Hz variable refresh rate.
Pricing starts at $1,199 for the DIY edition, and they are claiming over 20 hours of battery life during 4K Netflix streaming on the new 74-watt-hour battery.
Crucially, existing Laptop 13 owners can purchase upgrade kits to retrofit their current devices, keeping their promise of cross-generation compatibility alive.
Arizona State University professors are proposing a new undergraduate degree that combines artificial intelligence with philosophy. The initiative is a joint effort between the School of Humanities, Arts, and Cultural Studies and the School of Computing and Augmented Intelligence. The curriculum is designed to address the ethical implications of AI, focusing heavily on algorithmic bias, machine consciousness, and the societal impact of automation. It is a clear shift toward interdisciplinary education, trying to produce graduates who understand both the technical mechanics of AI and the ethical frameworks needed to govern it.
Over on GitHub, power users of Claude Code are requesting a feature update for their custom terminal status lines. Currently, the status line receives JSON data with fields like model and context window, but it omits the reasoning effort level, which dictates how deeply the model thinks. Users are currently stuck reading a Boolean called always thinking enabled from settings, which doesn't reflect whether the actual effort level is set to auto, low, medium, high, or max. It shows a growing demand from developers for granular, programmatic access to the internal state of these AI tools to manage latency and token costs. Finally, the USC Advanced Robotic Combat Team, a student-run group that builds BattleBot-style machines, is integrating AI into their newest creations.
The team builds robots ranging from 150 grams all the way up to 250 pounds to compete in events like the National Havoc Robot League.
They are using engineering disciplines like finite element analysis, but adding AI to remote-controlled combat robots introduces a wild new variable.
It certainly raises some interesting questions about students developing autonomous systems designed specifically for destruction, even if it is just for a sporting event.
That is all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for listening.
We will be back next time with more analysis on the latest stories shaping the tech industry.